Thank you, and thank you for attending here today. I'm not going to go through the objectives, but rather what I'll do is tell you how I came upon this topic. About 8 years ago, Dr. William Nelson from Dartmouth did a literature review on rural ethics and rural ethics committees. And I want to say that was like in 2002 or through 2003. And at that time, he found 8 or 9 articles that had been published over 10, 20 years. So what he did was he brought this group together who had published, and I had written some things on rural ethics committees and the structure of rural ethics, establishing a rural ethics committee. And I think there was the other 8 or 9 people that were on this group. I was the only nurse, as usual. So at that point in time, a small informal group developed into a rural ethics task force. And we looked at what was out there and what needed to be done and what the needs were. So since that time, there's been a number of articles that have been published and some resources that have been made available free of charge that are accessible to individuals. So why focus on rural ethics committees and what's so rural ethics and what's so neat or different about that? Well, first of all, what is bioethics? It's an applied philosophy that deals with moral issues in health professions, attempts to answer what is right with regard to human behaviors in matters of life and death, and it implies that a judgment should be made about the rightness or wrongness or goodness or badness of a given medical or scientific practice. That's the formal definition. Rural healthcare focuses on how unique rural context, and again, this goes into the public health or the community health, the context that an individual lives in or dies in, influences the presentation of ethical challenges and how individuals respond to those challenges, and it reflects on the ethical issues encountered in the unique environment of a rural practice setting. Some common ethical situations, they're probably no different in rural than they are in any other setting: informed consent, proxy, withholding and withdrawal of life support, confidentiality, justice, and the distribution of resources, advances and use of technology and therapies, advanced directives, individual versus family values versus provider preferences and understanding, cost versus benefits of services and care, intra and interprofessional competence and values issues, and other relative to public health, and I don't have time to discuss those today, but public health may have some unique considerations, and very little, if anything, has been written about that in the rural setting. Some characteristics about rural, and I'll go through these rather quickly, and if you've lived in a rural area and are aware of it, there's usually a low population density in a larger geographical area, and it may be 99 people per square mile or as few as 3 or 4 persons per square mile. Generally, in health departments, there are few personnel in a local health department. Sometimes it's only a nurse who's the epidemiologist who monitors and surveillance. I was talking to some community health nurses in a rural community, and they do the mosquito, empty the mosquito nets, and they track diseases. They do checking the restaurants, so they do it all. Overlap, and it's going to become more austere with budget cuts. There's overlapping relationships between the professional and the community. The nurse may be a neighbor of the clients or go to the same church. The kids go to the same school. They interact in the restaurants and the grocery stores. So overlapping of personal and professional relationship. Generally, isolation. Now, I use the word isolation with caution because what is isolation to one person, maybe solitude for another, but usually there's great distances, and some would say there's professional isolation. Few specialists, and access to specialists may be a great distance. Small hospitals with critical access, hospitals increasing in number. The maximum bed capacity for a critical access hospital is 25 beds or fewer. Close-knit relationships among residents in the community. Everybody is related. You have the insider who's lived there all their life for several generations, and an outsider who may have lived there 30 years but is still seen as an outsider. there's interdependence and a preference for self-reliance or community, local intervention or resolution of situations. Economic climate, there tends to be higher rates of uninsured, lower rates of per person and family income, and a high prevalence of OSHA-defined hazardous occupation, fishing, timber, agriculture, mining. Those are hazardous occupations, and they're found in rural settings. Healthcare, along with the education system, tend to be the predominant employers in a small community. Poorer health status, rural people tend to be have higher infant mortality rate, more chronic disease, use the doctor, go access care less frequently, but when they do, they are sicker. And, of course, limited ethics resources, which, again, I've alluded to the rural-focused literature. Of course, ethicists, ethics education, and ethics IRB committees. And, again, I could spend a lot of time on that, but that's a brief overview. Having said that, not all communities are the same. Just like urban is very different from one state to another, there's wide diversity in rural settings, as well as the population and the demographic makeup. Some of the issues that come up are associated with overlapping relationships, making ethical driven decisions. Disease stigma tends to be more noticeable. Values and preferences, I've alluded to some of those, and there's diffuse role boundaries. While you may be the nurse today and caring for a patient, you may do follow-up care and see people in the restaurant. So this whole notion of HIPAA plays out quite differently in a community where everyone knows everyone, and the largest employer is the healthcare system, which leads to privacy and threats to privacy and confidentiality issues. And then there's the preference for local versus outside support systems. So what do we need to do? We need to move ethics upstream. And how do we do this? Promoting ethical awareness among the staff in the community, taking into consideration local values, facilitating ethical discussions, interprofessional as well as intraprofessional, and in a small healthcare facility with 25 beds, that has to be, you know, you have to be pretty creative about that and bringing that kind of discussion to the fore, examining actual and potential ethical issues, using case studies. And again, if you do a QA study on the healthcare in the hospital and people hear about it on Main Street, they'll say, oh, the local hospital is having problems, do I want to go here? So then they go to the larger hospital, which is maybe 50 or 100 or 150 miles away, which impacts the census and the ability to sustain a healthcare system in that context. Looking at identifying relevant resources, sometimes putting the pieces together, establishing ethical practice guidelines, and all of this seems everyday activity in a large urban center, but in a rural facility, it may be completely a new set of terminology and a new way of thinking. Directing activities to enhance the quality of care and the organization's overall culture, and monitoring the effects of bioethical educational initiatives, which need to include the community. And there are resources out there. There's some web-based resources, which I'll show you. And there's a growing number of publications on rural bioethics. What is lacking is bioethical literature relative to rural public health practice setting. That is a definite need, as well as for nurses in rural settings. Needed case studies and best practice rural ethics awareness, education, and decision models. Not there. And again, it will vary from one site to another, but still, we need some guidelines for that. This is one thing that developed out of the committee that I was on, that task force. It's a handbook for rural ethics care, and it is available free of charge, and I believe there's 16 or 17 chapters in there, and it can be obtained. It was supported by the National Library, Congress of National Library, whatever it is. But anyway, a small grant supported that. Drawing a blank when I have to think so fast. And it has case studies. You can get a hard copy, but you can go online at that website, and it's chapter by chapter. It includes resources, case studies, as well as discussion materials that you can use So it's a great way to start intra and inter-ethical discussions. Another thing that came out of this, it's a manual for trainers, and this was sponsored, again, by the National Rural Health Association, but it is available at this website. Dr. William Nelson put it together, and there's case studies, and if any of you have done the EMT training, emergency medical training, you know how you have the text completely laid out, 10 minutes for this, what resources you need, the literature that goes with it, completely laid out for a 2-hour, 4-hour, half-day conference or a full-day conference with excellent web links and resources. Another one that is relatively new, and this is not free of charge, it's Ethical Issues in Rural Healthcare, and it is by John Hopkins. I don't know if they had it out here today, but this, again, is interdisciplinary and brings some of these issues to the fore. So implications for rural public health. Integrate rural ethics content into public health professional education, bringing in that rural perspective. And if you look at where are the schools of public health, they're in large urban centers. And I have not heard of any that bring in the rural perspective. I think hopefully they do. Implement ethics in IRB committees in rural areas, because oftentimes people choose to do research study in a rural setting, but there's no IRB. And so the considerations for IRB in a small community have wider implications than if it occurred in a highly populated setting. Facilitate ethics awareness among rural residents in the community, and this would be going upstream, having advanced directives, decisions that might need to be made in proxy. So again, educating, and this might be through public discussion, it might be through public announcements, media. Disseminate information on rural public health ethics initiatives, and publish rural bioethical case scenarios to inform educators as well as practitioners. So in summary, there's potential and actual ethics issues frequently encountered in rural and urban public health settings. Ethics issues are influenced by the rural context and rural value systems, and ethical issues have an impact on allocating resources and quality of care. It goes beyond reacting to ethics conflicts. Public health professionals, students must move upstream to decrease ethics conflicts. And these are some references, and that's all I have. Thank you.